It is a privilege this morning to introduce Dan Saglin-Binney to you. Dan's dad attends here at Central, of course. His mom and dad attended here for about 20 years, and Teresa went to be home with the Lord just a few months ago, which is wonderful for her, and it's our loss, but it's a special thing, I think, to have Dan as our guest this morning. Dan's sister is my secretary. Sharon has served here for several years. And so basically here, Dan is officially Sharon's brother. Could we all say that together? Welcome, Sharon's brother, because everywhere that he goes, he's Dan. And then Sharon, everywhere she goes is, well, I'm just Dan's sister. But here, you are Sharon's brother, okay? Could we all say that together? Welcome, Sharon's brother. All right, that's humbling, isn't it? Isn't it great for you? You need that. It is great to have Dan with us. We shared hearts yesterday over a meal, and I just love his heart for missions. He has taught at Central Bible College for 4 years. He's pastored two churches. He's been on staff at churches. He's been in Africa now through one term in Rwanda, and now is headed back to Kenya. And what I love about Dan is the genuine. He's very authentic in his faith and his love for the Lord and love for people. And he's a learned man. He's finishing his PhD, and he loves the New Testament, loves to teach Greek. And what a blessing that Africa, East Africa, gets to have you, Dan. So we welcome you to Central. Let's give him a hand and open our hearts to the Word this morning.
Good morning, friends. Pastor just said I have 8 minutes to speak. No, he's headed to the International Service to greet the folks there, and he wanted me to tell you that he will return. Amen. Well, I want to thank Pastor. I thanked him early, and he's not here to say that, but I want to thank him for the opportunity to be with you here today on this special day. I told the early comers that normally for an occasion like this, Central Assembly gets a heavy hitter, but none could be found, so you get a pinch hitter. Baseball season has just begun, it seemed appropriate enough. I am a missionary to Africa itinerating. Some would say the primary purpose, if not the sole purpose, of an itinerating missionary is to raise his budget so that he can return to the land of his calling. I embrace that. It's important, it's necessary, and I'll get her done. However, I like to think of myself this way. This is my personal viewpoint, that I am a representative of the God of mission and of the mission of God, and that my first and foremost purpose is to advance the cause of missions wherever I am invited. We'll get to that today. And you know what? Along the way, God raises my support. Now, we're going to get to that in a few minutes, but Pastor Jeff has asked me to say a little something about myself, what I do and why I do it, so you have some kind of context to put the speaker in. I come from Rwanda most recently, Latvia before that, and I want to bring you greetings from Reverend John Gadabazi, the General Superintendent of the Rwanda Pentecostal Assemblies of God. When he heard that I was going to America to itinerate, he said, will you please greet the American church? So greetings from Pastor Gadabazi from about 9,000 miles away. I bring you a second greeting. That is from my wife, Candace, who's not here. You know, she speaks once or twice while we're... And yesterday, she was speaking at a WM function in New York, and so... Of all times, she couldn't make the trip, and so Candace says hello. In June, we will be married 41 years. I got married when I was 9. We have 4 kids, 3 kids-in-law, 9 grandkids, and 2 grandkids in the oven. They're not twins, that's 2 ovens. They're all in Florida. Yeah. So, what do I do? I'm a missionary to Africa. You know, I'm preaching to the choir here when I say things like this. You know that Christianity has been moving globally south for a long time now. The center of gravity of Christianity is geographically ever more southern. The average Christian doesn't look like this. The average Christian looks like someone from Latin America or someone from Africa, even from southern Asia. Christianity in Africa is exploding. One source I found said, by 2025, Africa will be the most Christian continent on the planet. If Jesus doesn't come very soon, it won't be long before Africa will lead the global church. I said in the first service, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out. And as soon as I said it, I thought of your previous pastor and thought, I love Dr. Bradford. I'm going to see him in November. We're both going to the same church for a missions weekend. Anyway, it doesn't take a, who else is real smart? Help me out. You need to, okay, it's obvious that the training of African leaders well is very important. Now, missionary work, in fact, all ministry on whatever level basically falls into one of two kinds. We're either helping the church grow or we're helping the church grow up. So ministry is essentially evangelism related or teaching related. I'm a teacher. That's my gifting. That's my calling. That's how my equipping. That's how God wired me. It's what I do. The only way to preserve the fruit of revival in Africa is to provide well-trained pastors so that Christians, people who get saved, can have a place to grow and serve Jesus. Christianity is on the, evangelism is taking place in Africa. There are currently 5,000 more congregations in Africa than there are pastors to lead them. And remember, God's goal is not just that people make it inside the pearlies. God wants holy people, godly people, Christ-like people, grown-up Christians, mature believers, people fashioned in the image of Jesus. So, restoring the broken relationship between God and people is more than a get out of lake of fire free card. God wants to get us back to walks with Him in the cool of the day. So people need training. That's what I do. I teach Bible and New Testament Greek. Both services, Pastor Jeff has jumped on the Greek. I do teach. I love that. I started that 35 years ago right here in Mecca. But Bible is my, last month I was 43 years old in Jesus, and the Bible is still my favorite book. I know it's coming so much of the time because I've read it so much, and I can't wait to read it again. I just started Genesis this week again. Different translation. I have two passions in teaching. One is good hermeneutics, sound interpretation of Scripture. You see, every time someone teaches a Bible class, they're teaching hermeneutics. It may be unconscious. They may now not know how to spell the word, but it's happening because they're handling the Bible one way or another, and those who hear them will likely imitate what they see. Since it's going to happen, may as well do it well. I'd like to give some examples. I can only ask the questions. I don't have time to answer them. Revelations. Revelation says, I wish you were hot or cold. Does God want people on fire for the devil? I grew up hearing that King James, avoid the appearance of evil. So we should stay away from things that are okay, even things that are okay because they look bad. So is that what that means? And is there a context to help us understand that better or not? Does Elijah get twice what Elijah got? Does anyone surpass the prophet, the stature of Elijah in the Old Testament? Are we living in the last days? Hey, is it possible for a Christian to live in anything other than the last days? Is the kingdom of God a place or something else? Has it come? Is it coming? These questions have solid Bible answers that are pretty simple, and they don't require any Hebrew or Greek tricks. It's mostly just reading. It's amazing what you can learn when you read the Bible. That's one passion. I have another passion. The second passion is this, that these pastors in Rwanda, all the students I taught were already pastors, parents and pastors. That there will be an openness to the Holy Spirit so that God can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, however he wants to do it. Prayer meetings need to be led. They can't just be run helter. They need to be led, but not squashed. There's a way to allow the Holy Spirit to lead the prayer meeting. What about worship? There are things that hamper worship, things that help worship. What are they? In fact, what is your view as a pastor of worship? Does it have its own intrinsic value? Is it a means to an end only? Is it to get us to the good part? In heaven, when all the ends are gone, if that's the case, why are we still worshiping forever? Do worship and intercession flow in and out of one another? Is there allowance for gifts of the Spirit? These kinds of things. If God wants to say something, you know, we saw, and let me say this, every time you're leading a service, you are demonstrating whether or not you're, what if God wants to do something you hadn't planned? Will you allow him? We saw it this morning. Pastor Jeff stepped over me, his voice starting to crack, saying, I think God's calling somebody to missions. I'm not sure. Do you want to handle it? Should I do it now? What do you think later? And I said, don't worry about me. I said, yes. And he handled it so beautifully. That was God saying, this isn't on the order of service, but I want to get this done. And your pastor was right there on that page, sense enough, heard the voice of God and went with it so God could get some other business done. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. The business at hand is, it's Faith Promise Sunday. So I want to ask and answer a very important question. And that question is, why should I give to missions? That's a good question, and there's a good answer. Why should I give to missions? I wish there were one passage in Scripture that asked and answered this question, but I don't know of one. So I'm going to preach to you topically. I'm well aware of what I just said, and I will do my best. I think there's a scriptural case to be made. It's in four pieces as I see it. The first piece is this. God is a giving God. The Bible says in many places God gave the land to Israel. Yeah. God gives us space and a place to grow and to serve him, to be a blessing to someone else. The Bible says in many places God gave the law to Israel. Uh-huh. And to that law he added the rest. And so we say today, God has given us his word. We have the Bible. It's a light and a lamp in the darkness. It's the truth in a world of lies. It's life in the face of death. We have the word of God. It's a gift from God. Isaiah says God gives strength to the weary. The New Testament talks about the greatest giving of all. The most famous verse in the Bible says God gave his son. Jesus said at the Last Supper to the disciples, Luke, this is my body given for you. He said in Mark that the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. He gives eternal life to his sheep, John. And John also says that God gives the right to become his children. And to everyone who comes to him, God floods their hearts with the Holy Spirit. God gives. God gives grace to every believer, Paul says in Ephesians. We're all equipped with a gift. There's something we can do that nobody else can do. I want to insert a footnote here, okay? Just stay right there, bud. One time, the last church I was pastoring, a bunch of years ago, I got new glasses or new contacts or something. I knew where the edge was, you know. And I'd go right to the edge and flop your shoe partly off. You know how speakers do that, and if you're sitting in the front row, it annoys you to death. Well, I was trying to adjust, and I went off. Everybody goes like that. So I'm painted. This is new territory. I preached here before, but that was 7 years ago. Okay, so what I was saying, yes, you know, I'm 62 and I hate those moments. So God gives grace. We all have something to do and we're all equipped with what we need to get it done. Even if you have the same gift or combination of gifts as somebody else, that gift mix will be expressed differently through you and than it will be from anybody else. Because nobody is, we're all unique. So there's no place for jealousy or envy. There's no place for insecurity in the work of God. You know, I didn't get any memo that the things got changed from being about Jesus to being about us. Dave? Is it Dave? Mike. Why did I do that? This is Mike. I apologize, Mike. I met too many Daves today. Okay, so, yeah. That means if you don't do what God gave you to do with what the equipment he gave you, there will be a hole in kingdom work unfilled until you fill it. We can all excel by being the best us we can be. Isn't God great? He gave us all the opportunity to be the best at something. Nobody can replace you. We all have a gift from God. God gives victory to every believer, 1 Corinthians says. James says, every perfect gift comes from God. Okay, I don't need to beat a dead dog. God is a giving God. The second thing I want to say is, we're supposed to become like God. You know where I'm going with this one already. Yeah, be holy as I am holy. It's too bad that I hope this is in the past. I hope it's not still continuing. But some preachers have hammered the saints with this command. It's unfortunate. Sometimes be holy has been proclaimed in just negative ways. Be holy means you don't do this and you don't say that and you don't go there. That's unfortunate. Sometimes it's just externals. That's too bad. Not saying it was always that way, but there's a lot more to it than that. We just said that the goal of the believer is to become like God. Romans, God wants people conform the image of the Son. Ephesians, we're supposed to grow till we measure up to the stature of Christ. I want you to think about be holy as an invitation to become less like we are and more like Jesus is. You know, we worship God. We sing these wonderful things to the person we adore, and we speak of him in glowing terms because that's what he's like. Okay, be holy means we can be less like this and more like that. Talk about a makeover. Invitation like Jesus gave to Levi, Matthew. He's sitting at the tax collector's booth. That means he's a thief. Jesus says, follow me. And within a very short time, is it a few days? Matthew has a dinner party for Jesus. He invites his friends. You could count in hours how long he's been following the Lord. Who are his friends? Can you imagine the conversation at his house taking place in this corner over here or the kind of jokes being told over here? No wonder the Pharisees complained to Jesus' disciples saying, why does your teacher hang around with such riffraff? And Jesus shoots back. The sick need a doctor. The doctor is in. He said to Levi, follow me. Think of Michael Jordan singling out a five-year-old in whom only he could see potential and saying to the parents, let your son come under my wing several hours a day for the next 12 years. I'll turn him into more than I ever was. And that's kind of not exactly like what God does with us because we're sinners shaking our fist in God's face, fighting and screaming until he saves us. And then he's got plenty of work to do, doesn't he, with each of us. So it's more like this. I know this is impossible. It's just an illustration. Suppose Abraham Lincoln could come back from the dead and say to John Wilkes Booth, meet me at my office every morning and spend all day with me for the next 10 years, and I will transform you from an assassin into a blessing for America. Now we're talking more like it. So Jesus says to Matthew Levi, follow me, run with my crowd, hang with me. I'm going to rub off on you, Matthew, and change your life. And change it he did. The first book of our New Testament is attributed to that man. We're supposed to become like God. Well, lots of ways, but in one particular way that interests me today, we're supposed to become givers like God is a giver. You know, I said I'm married to this wonderful lady. She's terrific. She's been a giver forever, and I haven't been. We'd get married, and she'd say, you want to taste this? And I would. I would never let her taste mine. She'd give things away, share things, and I'd say, what are you doing? Inside, I'd think, what? I gave it away. What? Well, 40 years later, let's fast forward. Now I'm doing the same things. I'm a good tipper. Don't you pay $30 to take your wife out somewhere and leave a $2 tip and a tract. Oh, my goodness. Either take the tip away or take the tract. No, take the tract. Don't. Yeah. God wants us to be generous. The giving department is not left to God alone. Third thing I want to say. What should we give to? I'm glad you asked. Is there a greater cause than the cause of missions, than the cause of the mission of God, the cause of God restoring the broken relationship between himself and people? Has there ever been a greater cause than this in the universe? I don't think so. God is on a mission to reach people because God is crazy about people. He called Abraham. He wanted the Hebrew nation, which he would give him, to go to work, to reach the others. Yes, God tells Abraham, when the Hebrews total exactly one, God says to that one, Abraham, through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. My translation, Abraham, I'm after everybody. Jesus said, Mark 11, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. He said in Mark 13, the gospel will be preached to all nations. He told his followers in Matthew 28, make disciples of all nations. He told those same followers, Luke 24, that forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations. Revelation says that before the throne one day, there will be people from every tribe and language and tongue and nation. God wants his salvation, Isaiah 49:6. This is the Message Bible. 700 years before Jesus, God wants his salvation to be global. Mission of God. No greater cause than the mission of God. I want to say that if you are not participating in some way in the mission of God, I don't mean you have to pack your suitcase and live on another continent, unless God calls you. I'm waiting for the phone to ring. I was saying this in the first service, and somebody's cell phone rang. I said, God's calling you to be a missionary. But by praying for missions, lost people, missionaries, by giving to missions, by participating in the ministry of a church that's missions-minded, like this church gives an excess of $1 million a year to missions, you're participating in missions. So there's lots of ways to do it. This Saturday, you have opportunity to participate in the mission of God. Okay, if you are not participating in some way or other in the mission of God, you have missed your reason for living. I want to ask a pointed question. If we are not participating in the mission of God, why are we breathing? Last thing I want to say. The mission of God is characterized by the supernatural from front to back. Man, the most incredible supernatural element of it is when God the Son becomes one of us. I just want to speak of childbirths as my example of the supernatural character of the mission of God. God tells Abraham, like I mentioned a moment ago, he and Sarah are going to have a baby. They both think that's funny. It is kind of funny when you think about it. Except that it happens supernaturally. And then they have a son, Isaac, who marries Rebekah at age 40 and at age 60 still has no kids. I am way ahead of Abraham and Isaac. He prays, God answers, Rebekah has children. They have Jacob, Jacob and Esau, right. Jacob loves Rachel. He wants Rachel. He gets four wives. He loved one. He worked for one. He wanted the one. He got four. Okay. So three of them have kids. Guess who doesn't? Rachel. Until God supernaturally overcomes her barrenness. She has a child. And then Mary. Many Jewish girls from 12 on, they were ready for marriage, and many got married that young to older men. Mary was very likely a teenager when the impossible happened. God's accomplishing his mission, choosing the one to bring about a people, to bring about one. He wants to start with one, to get to the people, to get to one. Jesus. Miraculous. Why am I saying this? Here's why. Expect your participation in the mission of God to be supernatural. If we're going to partner in a supernatural enterprise, we can expect our participation to be at least in part supernatural. Now, we're talking about giving today. So if you have prepared in advance, good for you. Not everybody thinks in advance like this. If you have done your homework, a man, a woman, a couple, and thought about, here's what I have available, here's what I can do in terms of my resources, we can give this much, and so we're ready to go. Come Sunday, April 3rd, we're going to... Good for you for thinking in advance and for being that kind of planner. Accept that. Accept that if you can do it naturally, then it's not supernatural. And a faith promise is supernatural. What if we asked God what he wanted us to give? I can guarantee you he will tell you a figure to which you will respond something on the order of, what? That's not possible. Precisely. Expect God to supernaturally supply the amount of money he speaks to you to give. And your participation in giving to the cause of missions will be supernatural. God's a giving God. God wants us to be like him. We're to become generous people too. God likes generous givers because they're like himself. There's no greater cause to which to give than the mission of God, which is supernatural, and our participation in that mission can also partake of the supernatural. Can we pray? Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for the power of it, the truth of it, its impact, and I ask that this message will impact our hearts and move us to do as you wish for us to do. Bless faith promise giving at Central Assembly today. I pray for your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Appreciate Dan's word today. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Dan, for being willing to leave children, grandchildren, and go to East Africa. Amen. Appreciate his obedience to the Lord. Last Sunday, late afternoon, about 5:30, I flew to Dallas just for one day, a little 24-hour period. Several probably that are here today were there. It was called A Long Day in Africa, and it was just phenomenal. We're going to bring it here in July and have a Sunday morning that we're going to celebrate Africa together. But I sat there and listened to some of the information on the unreached people groups, and my heart was just wrung out. I was so moved and talked to a few people, and we all felt the same, that you hear the needs, even as we talk about how Africa is becoming, as did you mention that it's all dropping south, the gospel really, and the kingdom and the work is just expanding so much in a southward direction today. And Africa, we see it that way, and yet to hear still, it was just a reminder, there's still so many people to be reached, and that is true right here. It's in our Jerusalem. It's true all around the world. But I was flying home then, just Monday night, and my heart was just feeling missions. And then I headed into a week of preparation and study to teach a class on Acts at the district office for our School of Ministry here. And so 3 hours, the book of Acts in 3 hours is really hard. I figured that out. It was 6 minutes per chapter that I had to try to do an overview of the book of Acts. But once again, just a refresher for me to really study Dr. Wood's material on that is provided through Global University. And I was just so struck by Paul's sacrifice, Peter's sacrifice, all the different individual people. Once again, the Jerusalem, really the center of Christianity, moving up the coast to Antioch and then all across through Galatia and across, and then the call to Macedonia and crossing the Aegean Sea and then back down to Rome and then back through and Paul's journeys. And once again, to look at those three missionary journeys and realize what it took, the sacrifice in those first few decades to see Christianity just make a major impact on the world. It's been a remarkable week. And then I open up the Pentecostal Evangel and see the articles on Europe and a reminder of how dark Europe is. And friends, I don't care where it is. We can talk Central and South America. We can talk India. We can talk the Far East. Wherever it is, as we started this service in the 96th Psalm, the fact is that God is to be exalted in all nations. Amen? And the way that we see that happen is that we all participate, as Dan has reminded us today. Many of you are so accustomed to this, I realize it's in your bulletin. Would you take it out with me this morning? And we're going to look at it this morning, again tonight, on Wednesday night, and then next Sunday morning will just be a reminder, and then that'll be it. This is for a six-month period, but I want to let you in on just one aspect of this today, a couple things. One is that in my office, in this drawer right here, and I open up and I go to it quite often, usually to put something into it. I wish I was taking things out of it more often, but it is a file probably that thick. I had one of these in Arizona. I worked out of that file for years, and here I am at Central, and I work out that same file. It is full of missionaries saying, I will go. I will go to Central America. I will go to Asia. I will go to North Europe. I will go to Eurasia, one of the areas of unreached people groups there. I'll go to the 1040 window. I'll go to Africa. I'll go to India. And they're willing to go, and they're just praying, waiting, hoping, and they knock on doors constantly, and they've knocked on our door. And we have to put it in the file and say, we pray someday that we could pick you up on a monthly basis. A unique thing about this church, and this is not just incredible and wonderful, is that over $500,000 goes directly into AG, WMs and local home missions departments. Over $500,000 goes directly next door saying, please give, and they're part of Central, and you put your name. Carl and I do the same thing in supporting missionaries directly. That is awesome. But I still have to say, if we don't do this, we will never be able to deal with that file that's in my left-hand drawer. And I want to get some of those missionaries picked up. Last fall, we had a short list as a missions team of 10 or 12 names. I think it was 12. And we were able to pick up 4 of them. Praise God. And they were so thrilled. But that means it left 8 people in that drawer. And now we'll do it again based on what we see happen in the next week or so. So I want to just encourage you as we close today to please pray about this. And what I appreciate of Dan's word today, and it's so true, the tithe belongs to the Lord. We bring him our 10% tithe. And many of us give to missions. We give to support something for the youth, or we give for camps, or we just give. We give because we give as God gave. What a good reminder Dan gave us today of that. That's the basis of why we give, because God is such a giving God. But then there comes that point of what is called a faith promise. And what it is it extends you beyond what in and of yourself you believe that you can do. And so you may say, well, already I give this much to missions every single month. I'm asking you today, and Dan is encouraging us today, to go ahead and stretch it a little bit more and say, okay, God, not with anyone here, or not even with my paycheck or what comes in the mail monthly, but reaching up with you, I'm going to take hand in hand with God for just the next 6 months and say, then I will stretch this much further. If that's what you lay on my heart, God, I'll do it. The incredible thing about a faith promise is anybody can do it. Say, oh, no, because I don't have the resources. That's not a faith promise. Anyone can give a faith promise. A student at Evangel can do a faith promise. And you know how poor they are. Could I hear an amen this morning? I mean, come on. Or CBC or, AGTS or MSU, wherever. The point is, no matter where you're at in your life, if you say, I'm willing to say, okay, God, if you'll provide it, I'll give it. And then to watch God supernaturally provide, that is what has propelled missions for decades. Isn't it awesome that God will do it if we're willing to step out in faith? So before any of us check out or say, well, I already know what my little box is, what we're asking today would be, even some of you, maybe for the first time your whole life you've ever participated in missions, is that you say, okay, Lord, by faith I'll reach up and partner with you and ask you, God, to help me. And you fill that out according to that amount. Say, I'm going to do it for missions, and I'm going to wait on God to provide. And as he provides, that's when you don't go and buy a Cubs cap as much as you want to, I'm sure. But you take that money and you put it toward missions, all right? Can we bow our heads and pray together? Ushers, come forward, if you will. We're going to receive an offering in a moment. We want to bless Dan. We want to receive an offering just toward our whole missions program that we can get off to a great start in these 6 months. We want to bless Dan. We want to bless Chad on Wednesday night. We want to bless Ozarks Women's Center tonight. Just think for a moment. How has God blessed you? How has he given to you? Every one of us here, from students all the way through to the elderly, the seniors here, as God has been faithful to us. Again, this is a moment of faith, and I'm going to give you just a few seconds and ask you to pray and to be willing to respond. Again, faith, just saying, Lord, I will partner with you, and as you will provide that, I will give it. And to ask God today and then fill out this faith promise card. It's perforated where you can tear it and you can take part of the small part home to remind you and leave the rest here in the offering as a commitment. Take a moment and just talk to the Lord, would you? What does he want you to do toward missions? In faith. In faith. If you prepare to give right now, again, if you'd like to give in a great missions offering, but also to leave your faith promise card there, in it as it passes by. You might want to hold on to this and say, Jeff, I really need to pray and ask the Lord more about this. Do that. You can come back tonight on Wednesday night again. Next Sunday morning, it'll be a reminder. But if you're ready now and you say, Lord's already laid something on my heart, awesome. Let's look beyond what we do right now, but to reach up and ask him by faith to provide something supernaturally for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we ask you to bless this offering now. Thank you, Lord, for Dan and Candy. They have left and gone once again as they return, Lord, to Africa. Thank you, Lord. Seated here today are many that have gone through the years or are right now preparing to go, and they're a part of us, Lord. But God, we're part of your kingdom, part of your vast enterprise in this earth, and how blessed we are to be a part of it. Lord, I pray for the widow that's here, the student that's here, God, that they just feel they really can't participate. Lord, by faith, speak to us, Lord, and show us, and then provide something great that we could see missions go forward in a greater dimension. We pray in Jesus' name. Bless this offering, we ask now. Amen. Amen.